First word. Brother Allen, please read.
Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so they will.
I can't tell you how long I looked at that verse. And the Lord would bring me back to it. But John is giving you in capsule form all that this book is going to reveal further. Here is a key to understanding this book that I didn't have for many, many years. John repeats his vision more than once. I'll show you that. If a man like John, who leaned on the bosom of the Lord and knew mysteries that others didn't know, and he meets an angel, and he's so awestruck, this angel looks like the Lord. Why do you think he fell down and worshiped him? He must have known what the Lord looked like when he was here on earth. Plus, he had a vision of the Lord in glory now. And he's seeing all these things, and when this angel gives him a few more details, he fell down at his feet. And I believe that can only mean this angel looked just like the Lord himself. He sent and signified it by whom? By what? An angel? There's one little word there. By his angel. If it's his angel, then that angel got to be just like him. For a special assignment. And that is why, because I always used to wonder, why would he fall down and worship this angel? But if you read the book, it says he did it two times. You got to read it carefully before you see it. And I used to think he did it twice, but I don't believe that. He's repeating what he had already said before. Just like the seals and the trumpets, some of these things are repeated again. It's like seeing a movie, and you know, you don't know all the details, but you see a glimpse of it. But when you see the whole thing, then you know where that part fits in with the other. So he's taking you back. And why? Because by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. Now, that's not going to make us more spiritual, but at least it's good that the angels said, don't do it. Worship God. I'm just a servant of God. But John is blessed to write, and just like he wrote the book of the Gospel of John, the life of the Lord here on earth, he's going to give us more about the Lord now from the glory realm. And whenever you see the word behold, don't run. That's a little word, but it got deep meaning. In one church, the word behold is found four times. And I'm not going to tell you. Just read and you will find. That means the Lord is saying, stop where you are. And don't be in a hurry to go. Be still. Pay attention to what follows. Behold. Consider. Look. Before you leap, in other words. He cometh. How does he come? With clouds. Do you think those are the clouds that are in the upper atmosphere? Seeing that we're surrounded by so great a what? Now, what part of his coming is this? This is not his coming secretly. He's going to be openly revealed in flaming fire, right? He'll be openly seen. So this is his literal, visible coming back to earth. How many of us are praying, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. He cometh with clouds. How can he come with clouds unless those who make up the clouds are gathered to him? The clouds are the glorified saints. If we were on earth and we were to look up into the heavens when this event takes place, those who are coming with him will be seen on the earth as cloud formations. These are the saints who are first gathered to him before they come back to earth with him. When you get to Revelation 14, it says, there's a people with the Lamb, where? On Mount Zion, right? They are with the Lamb. Underlined a little word which we don't see, including myself. Where are these people? In chapter 1 of verse 14, they are where? Let me hear you say it again. And I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him, you get the number. Stop a moment. I want to show you how we don't see, including myself. It didn't say a lion stood on Mount Zion. What stood on Mount Zion? Well, when he was here on earth, which of the two animals represent him? Also a lion. But you see, he was first a lamb before he's seen as a lion. Well, we know the lion is the king of the beast, and the lion speaks of strength, but he was led as a what to the slaughter. And yet he's both the lamb and the lion. It's to tell us something. And by the way, the word lamb in Revelation is found 28 times. What is 28? 7 multiplied by 4. It's used one other time, but that's the counterfeit Christ. He has the horns of a lamb, but he speaks as a dragon. So that isn't speaking of Jesus Christ. And the word lamb, I found out one day, means a little lamb. What kind of a lamb? That's how the poetry came, inspired. Mary had a what? Its fleece as? And everywhere that? And they took the lamb at school one day, and it made the children laugh and play. But today we don't have the lamb at school. Is that right? Mary not only represents Mary represents you and me. Because if we know the Lord, we have the Lord with us. Lo, I am with you. He's in me, but he's also with me. So wherever we go, we take him with us. And if we realize that, we'll be careful where we go. Right? And if we know who is inside of us, we'll be careful what we say. And sometimes we don't realize it, but we got to trust God to help us. So, these are with the Lamb. Then you get to chapter 19 and you read about the people who they're coming back with the Lord. Brother Alan, chapter 19. I think it's 17 rather. Chapter 17. I think it's 19. Let me go back. Don't always remember chapters and verses, but I'm looking for the one on the white horse and those who are coming with him. Huh? 19. That's it. 18. Well, it starts at verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called what? See those names again? We saw it before, now we're seeing it again. He's faithful and true, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. Which nation makes war in righteousness? All right. It describes him. Verse 14. Brother Allen, read for us.
And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron.
All right. Is it in that same chapter we have? And they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Can you help me find that verse? 17:14. That's why I was in chapter 17. Thank you, Brother Jason. Go ahead, Brother Allen. When you have the time, meditate on those three words. They're called, they're chosen, and what else? And in chapter 19, the one on the horse is faithful and true. All right? So when it says he's coming with clouds, these are the clouds. The first fruits and the rest of the harvest who've been received of the Lord are now coming back to earth with the king.
Amen.
And they make up the clouds. We could call the word clouds the redeemed.
Amen.
The redeemed of the Lord. Clothed in white. One of the promises to the overcomer is to be clothed in white, and he shall walk with me in red or black. Neither. In white. That's a glorified body that will be shining as the Shekinah glory cloud, which was white in color. He's coming back with a people who will radiate his image and likeness. That is what this is saying. He's coming with them, but first they are gathered to meet him.
So, Brother Owen, you're saying this is not only the first fruits, but they already have the resurrection at the end of the age.
Yes.
Now they
come back. Yes. In other words, after the tribulation, right, and those who remain. In other words, both the dead and the living. Exactly. Those in the first resurrection, that is. And so this is at the close of the tribulation. And this will be at the end of the seven vials of wrath, which we're going to read about. Because by the time they are received of the Lord, and the Lord presents them to the Father, what an awesome day that will be to be brought before the Father. They will be presented by the Lord to the Father. I will confess his name before who? My Father and his holy angels.
Amen.
That means Jesus will do the confessing or bringing those who are found faithful and true to the Father so the Father would bless them as they now would share in the kingdom of his son. And I'm sure we would all like to know more details, but that's just as much as I can tell you. And it goes along with the seven feasts of Israel, which if we don't know, we don't have the key to the end time. You see, God has hidden much truth in the covenants. He has hidden much truth in the parables. He has hidden much in the Olivet Discourse. Stop a moment. Matthew, Mark, and Luke give us the Olivet Discourse, but John does not. So where does that come in the book of Revelation? Only in the book of Revelation we have more understanding to follow the truths about the end time in the Olivet Discourse. It's amazing the correspondence in the Olivet Discourse with the book of Revelation. Now that is very hard. I tell you, many books have been written and many speculations, but God will reward the diligent seeker. So isn't that interesting? John doesn't give you the details of the Olivet Discourse. God waited a long time before he allowed John to see some more. And when you take what John says and you line it up with the Olivet Discourse, it's amazing how it fits. I might have to come for a month to unfold that to you. But it's all right. What I can do, the Spirit will do. And he'll send others here who will help you. And the day the first fruits go will be an important day. Now people say, well, he can come anytime. We are to live with that expectation. But there will be a special day he will come. And there's a special day when he will come for the harvest, the rest of the harvest.
Yes, sir.
And my present understanding is when he comes in for the first fruits, he comes in the spring of the year. When he comes 3.5 years later, it will be in the fall of the year, like this time. Now, the Feast of Trumpets was on the first day of the seventh month, right? And the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall arise. And we who are alive and remain till the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them that are asleep. So that's when the dead in Christ will rise on the day of trumpets, because it links with that passage. But separating the day of trumpets from the day of tabernacles, tabernacles is the last feast, is almost 2 weeks or 14 days. So the harvest group and the first fruits will be presented by the Lord to the Father, and they will remain in the heavens almost 14 days. And when the day of tabernacles begins, Zechariah had a glimpse of it. So, bear with me a little, because it takes time to understand this, and we can only say so much in a short time. Zechariah saw the day when the Lord would return. But when we understand the feast, it could be no other day than the first day of tabernacles. The Lord who left this earth in a glorified tabernacle is coming back in that glorified tabernacle in the feast day of tabernacles, with those whose tabernacles have been changed from earthly bodies into heavenly bodies. Now, let's see what Zechariah saw in the 14th chapter. If we can't find Zechariah, let's go to the index. But it's just before Malachi, so you don't have to worry about it. Brother Alan read verse 9 to us from that chapter. Notice, in that day, when he's coming back, beloved, he's not coming back to be crucified again.
Amen. That's right.
He's coming back as the King of Kings.
Amen.
And the Lord of Lords. Now, let's go down to verse, it's so good, we might need a few more minutes here. Start at verse 1, brother.
Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses riddled, and the women ravished, and the half of the city shall go forth into captivity. And the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great battle. And half the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azazel. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with me.
Please read that sentence one more time.
And ye shall
flee. No. Go ahead to that last sentence. All the saints with thee. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Now tell me something. Do you not marvel at the accuracy of the word of God? There's no other book like this book. The Bible explains itself. The Bible is the best commentary on itself. Come on. Notice that. Read it one more time, my friend. That last sentence.
And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee.
Go ahead.
And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light.
Stop there, please. Notice there's a special day here. It's known only unto the Lord. There's some things God doesn't see fit to reveal. But in due time, if he wants to reveal it, he will reveal it. The secret things belong unto the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children, Moses said. And it shall be one day. Notice that. That's a 24-hour day now. This is not 1,000 years. This is not a year. This is a literal day. Many times in the Bible, a day can represent a year. A day can represent 1,000 years, depending on how you understand the use of the word. It shall be one day. Let's go back to verse 6. And it shall come to pass in that day. Over and over again you hear, in that day, in that day, in that day. But it has more than one application. But this is dealing with the literal day when the Lord returns. That the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night. Well, you know you've got either day or you have night. But when is the time you can't tell that it's day or night? What time? Evening time. And how did the Jews count time, Brother Allen? Notice that. Their day began at evening. So that day will be the 14th day, rather the 15th day of the 7th month, and it begins in the evening of the 14th. That's the Feast of Tabernacles. If we don't know about the times that God gave Israel, and he put the day and the month, and those are the time. That's why Paul says, concerning the times and the what? Seasons, brethren, I will not have you to be. So we all need to go back to those days and months that God didn't just happen to hatch those figures out of his head. God is a God of law and order, and he says what he puts what is to be said there, whether we understand it or not. So this one day is linked with his literal coming back. And now I'm going to ask you a simple question which you know the answer for, which is, what's the last place Jesus walked on earth before he went back to glory? Mount of Olives. So when he comes back, which is the first place that he will touch down on? What did the angels or the two men clothed in white say to the disciples? You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into heaven? The same, notice, not this, not just Jesus, the same Jesus, and he's the same when? Today? This same Jesus shall so come again. What comes after that? In like manner as you've seen him going to heaven. In other words, the way he left is the way he's going to come back. So he left from the Mount of Olives, and when he comes back, he's coming back right there. He's not coming to America. He's not coming to the White House. Now he says he's going to the Mosque of Umar or Saudi Arabia there, where they got their altar to Muhammad, I mean to Allah? Oh, beloved. So he left, and he's finally returning. And when I come again, I will repay you, he said, in the parable of the wounded man. How much money did he leave with the host of the inn? 2 pennies. A penny was one day's pay for one day's work. So how many days work? 2 pennies. 2 days. A day with the Lord now is how long? 2 pennies, 2,000 years. He was simply veiling it and was simply saying, after 2,000 years, I will return. And this way I left is the way I'm going to come back. Now, for homework, study why the Mount of Olives is split in two. I'm not going to say anything. Why doesn't it stand? Why is it split in two? Seek the Lord. And the Lord my God shall come and all the saints with thee. Praise God.
Amen.
Like John, we can say, even so, come Lord Jesus. So behold, he cometh with clouds. What else? Let's go back. Thanks for bearing up with me tonight. It's so hard to say it all in just a couple of minutes. And every eye shall see him. Yeah, I'm coming to it now. When I was a little boy, I'm always looking for the Lord to come back. And I took it literally. We must keep our eye on the clouds and keep looking one day Jesus will come back. But that doesn't mean we're going to be gazing at the clouds like some people, and they get dressed up and get ready because the Lord is coming, and they drop everything and go on a mountain. No, that's going out of God's order. Occupy how long? That means do business with what I've given you until. So don't think this means you go and get your eye on the clouds. But he did say when these things begin to come to pass, do what? Lift up your heads and look. You know, get the upward look. You can still be doing other things, but you are dead and your life is hid with Christ where? And if you then be risen with Christ, do what? Seek those things which are above. While you're here, you seek him for help to do what you got to do down here. Amen?
Amen.
All right. And every eye shall see him. So I used to think, well, when he comes back, everybody all over is going to see him. That's not what it's saying, though. So where will all the TV cameras and the big hype? They will be in existence when he comes, because great bloodshed will be on the earth, and a great portion of the earth will be in ruins because of atomic and nuclear weapons. Zechariah saw it in his day. You'll have to read the book of Zechariah. So who is the every eye that shall see him? Only the people in that area that he's coming back to. What did he say? Oh, Jerusalem. How oft would I have gathered thee as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings? Verily I say unto you, he said, your house shall be left unto you desolate. Verily I say unto you, you shall not, what? Underline the word see. He didn't say you'll never see me again. We got to read slowly, beloved. You shall not see me till how long? Till you say what? Has that been fulfilled yet? That is his second coming. You see, when he came the first time, they rejected him. When he comes the second time, I'm going to show what's going to happen. Just bear up a little, because when you understand little by little, it will bless you. And every eye shall see him. That means only the people in that area. And when they see him, what's going to happen? Now you're going to see what Zechariah says. Let's get back to Zechariah. We can't get out of that prophet. Let's go to chapter 12. Chapter 12. Let's start at verse 9. Has that happened yet? But the scene is already set for great troubles to break out there. We're on the brink of World War III. We've had other wars, but now this will be the war of wars because nuclear weapons will be used. Have you ever wondered why God has restrained man from using the atomic bomb since 1945? Isn't that a good question? It's in the Word of God. He saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, and they were holding back the winds of the earth. Why were they standing there? Is God giving a hold order for a company of people to be sealed on the earth before the judgments come? And it's only in an atomic bomb, a nuclear bomb, that the wind action carries the radiation effects. So the winds are held back, the winds of judgment, until God gets a sealed people. Then they will no longer hold back the wrath of God. So we're in a time of the last hours of grace. But you look at the scene in the world, and all nations are almost against Israel, including our own nation in its present leadership. But a lot of folk want to be blind to what's going on. Despite all this wickedness, we got so many people wanting to see this administration again for another 4 years. I tell you, you don't have to have spiritual intelligence to see the bankruptcy of this nation and the way people are thinking. Well, anyhow, we know who's in charge anyhow.
Amen.
Let's get back to this. Go ahead, Brother Allen. Verse 9.
And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem.
So when they surround Jerusalem, seek to wipe out Jerusalem, then comes something now. Go to the next verse.
And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn.
Now that is a verse we need to notice. When will this happen? They shall look upon me whom? They're looking for Messiah to come, and they don't realize that he came 2,000 years ago. And the day the Lord returns, something's going to happen to Israel. He will pour on them the spirit of what? Grace and supplication. Just as he's had to do that for us, now he's going to do it for them. And they shall look upon me, and you shall not see me till when? Till the day when, who will say? You will say. In other words, there's coming a day when their eyes are going to be opened. As a nation now, the preserved ones who were wiped out in that end time battle. And they're going to see their blindness. And the Spirit of God will bring conviction on them. And what's going to happen? Go on. Verse 11.
In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadarammon.
Yeah, Hadarammon. Oh, it's okay. That's a long word. Yeah.
In the valley
of Megiddon. Stop a moment. Yes. That is the entire remnant that survived. That takes in the whole nation because they're representatives of all the tribes there, just as there were representatives of all the tribes when Jesus came. God arranged it, and he'll arrange it again in the last days. Some people say, well, 10 lost tribes. They may be lost to us, but they're not lost to him. Okay. Now, chapter 13, brother, verse 1.
In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for iniquity.
Notice, this fountain is going to deal with two things. What are those two things? Because of sin, we're unclean. Right? We can get washed from our sins, but we're still unclean if we go back and get contaminated. So we need the blood to deal with our sin. We need the washing of the water of the word for our uncleanness. You may not commit sin, but you may have a wrong thought, a wrong emotion, and you need to take in the water of the word to flush out. What does water do? Flush out impurities in our physical bodies. We need to be flushed out every day from wrong thoughts and wrong emotions. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Well, what God is doing for us today is same thing going to happen to them. And don't boast and say we're better than them. We would have done the same thing. Like many of us, if I were Adam, I wouldn't do what he did. We don't know our own hearts. Go on to the next verse, please. Verse 2.
And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall be no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land.
Wouldn't that be great if it happened in America?
Yes.
You know how many idols we got in this country? And what about the idols inside of us? So that land will be really a holy land. You know, many years ago, I looked at the Jerusalem Post. And on the first page, Jerusalem is the gay capital. I couldn't believe it. And these are Jews who are supposed to be highly moral people. And just as Mr. Clinton has his first act as a president, made Gay Day parade legal. Maybe you don't know that. Please go and check again. You got all access to all the news. Can you imagine a man making that day the first act of his presidency? Why? Because he got a lot of votes. You know? And it's the same thing happening right now, and 10 times worse. I mean, the iniquity is so great, I can't even imagine. And now these people must be given same status as everybody so they can come into our schools and infect our children. And you can't say anything bad about them. Let a person come up and say, God, that's not in harmony with the word. And I read where this present president's pastor told him, I can't agree with you. This is not in line with the word of God. Does he really care for the word of God? Put his hand on the Bible and making a mock of it, out of it. Because the next day when they repeated the words, he did it in secret and he had no Bible with him. In case you don't know that, please check that out. The Lord was exposing this man, but many who are blind will remain blind. Now, I'm not against a man as a man. I don't hate him, but I hate the wrong he's doing. And we got to be clear on that. We don't want anybody to die and go to hell. But we got to take a stand for righteousness.
Amen. That's right.
And imagine God cleaning up Jerusalem. There'll be no gays left there. Because there's going to go through a day of atonement. That's what's happening here. That's the sixth feast before the seventh feast. Total repentance and cleansing. Notice the remnant from various tribes are there. And a result of that will be the idols are gone. And the prophets is not talking about the true prophets, the false prophets. And the demonic spirits will be no more in the land. You talk about a cleansing, brother. So where is this fountain they have to go and dip in? In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and inhabitants of Jerusalem. That fountain was opened 2,000 years ago. A fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. Are you glad you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb? So now let's come back to our verse. Revelation 1. He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Not all over the world, But the people, the remnant that he left, he's coming back to them. And they also who pierced him. Which nation was responsible for that? Israel. And they also who pierced him and all kindreds of the earth. Literally, all the tribes of the land. I didn't know that. I assumed, I mean, all over the world. No, no. Literally, all the tribes of the land, not the whole earth. Just a section of the earth. What will they do? Shall wail because of him. It goes back to Zechariah. And what does John say after that? Even so, amen. The word even so is amen in the Greek. And the word amen is the Hebrew for amen. So amen, amen. Yeah.
When it says, and they also which pierced him.
Yes.
That's not the one that literally did it. That's just represented.
Let your blood.
Those that did
it. No, those are the ones who survived because their forefathers said, let his blood be on us and our children. So, you know, the sins of the fathers are passed on to the generations, right? And we can pass good on or we can pass evil on. So these are the people who are the remnant out of their forefathers. And God's going to settle the score. And they can't have it settled until they come to repentance and acknowledge Messiah and receive him. And then they will be cleansed. And Jerusalem will become the earthly headquarters of the earthly kingdom.
Okay, during the 3.5 years of tribulation, there won't be a wholesale turning of Israel to God. It will wait until this moment.
There'll be remnants that will come to the Lord, even as today.
Right.
It will amount to more when the first fruits have left. And the two witnesses, remember how long they minister for? 3.5 years. And it says they're going to witness in Jerusalem. And undoubtedly, they wouldn't be accepted, but there'll be those who will respond. But the greater part will respond when that day comes. Yes, so there are stages in their repentance. And yes, brother.
Uh-huh. That's the natural
Yes. I see it as applying to them that God will have a sealed people from among them, though the plagues are coming and war is there and atomic weapons. No harm will come near these people who have the mark. As it says in Ezekiel 9, don't touch anyone on whom the mark is. Right. 1,000 will fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. How come? Because you have the mark of protection around you.
Amen.
That will be another mystery. What did God tell Pharaoh? I'm going to put a redemption. I'm going to put a division between my people and your people. Mm-hmm. The word there means redemption. Anyhow. This is a magnificent verse, and I'm sure I haven't done justice to it. But I've given you some things to chew on. So if you don't agree on it, that's not anything big. We love the Lord, and we can wait on the Lord and weigh his word. But John is giving us more details of this verse as you come to the end of the book, because God's purpose for the church and Israel will reach its fulfillment. First, the church, the spiritual seed, and then Israel, the natural seed. Praise God. Now, I don't know all the answers to all your questions, beloved. Maybe I put more questions than answers. But it's a precious thought. He's coming with clouds, and those are the redeemed. Those who are with him, three words. They're first called, they're chosen, and they are what? And who is the faithful witness above all witnesses? And he says to Smyrna, be thou faithful even unto death.
Amen. Yeah, I got the saints that's on the
too?
Which saints?
The martyrs.
Oh, sure. The martyrs, I believe the martyrs will share in the first resurrection.
Okay.
Yeah. These are they who were beheaded for their testimony. Mm-hmm. And they shall live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. That's a special blessing for the martyrs. But anyhow, the Lord knows them that are his. And let not, and let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity.
Amen.
So we haven't gotten into the book yet, but it's good to know the preliminaries. And tomorrow night, we're going to go into the names of the Lord. Well, let's read this before we close. I am what? Brother Alpha, Alan, go ahead.
I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty.
So who is the Almighty here?
Well, God.
We say that's the Father, which is true, but what does it say here?
Jesus.
Exactly what the Father is, the Son is.
Yeah.
Now, when we were looking at the previous verse, it says, greetings from him who was, is, and is to come.
Amen.
But it doesn't tell who that is. The word there is Jehovah or Yahweh. That's the Father. Then from the seven spirits or the one spirit in his sevenfold capacity. And from Jesus Christ. In other words, you see the three acting in unity. So what is said of the Father is now said of the Son. Who is, who was, and is to come. That's in one word, it's the word Jehovah. So the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. And I told you about the so-called Jehovah Witness arguing that Jesus is just a common G-O-D and not seeing who really Jesus is. So the brother said, oh, read your Bible. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. New Testament. So he said, let's go back in the Old Testament. And in their Bible, guess what it reads? Prepare ye the way of Jehovah. So where is he going to run now? He surrendered. Thank God. The word of God exposed him and corrected him through the Spirit. So when these people come to our doors, don't just drive them away. Just be kind to them. And say, if you want to talk a little, come on inside. And pray for the Lord to give you words to really stir them. Because you hate to see people going astray. They're zealous, but in the wrong way. Paul thought he was doing God a favor when he's killing the Christians.
Right.
Until his eyes were open.
Right.
Anyhow, notice Alpha, Omega, beginning, ending, Lord, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. That's a powerful verse. We can't leave without looking at that. Those are names of the Lord. I just read them and passed over them because I didn't know anything. But this will show you the greatness of the Lord, because the book is the revelation of whom? Jesus Christ. So go in peace as you meditate on the Lord, think on his words, say, Father, through your Spirit, open up your precious words to me, and Spirit of the living God, reveal my Lord to me. Because that is his office work.
Yes, sir.
He will not speak of himself. He will testify of me. So, I'm sorry we couldn't finish this in 15 minutes. But it's far better we go slowly.
Right.
And I am getting blessed. Because in days gone by, I never paid attention to this. So if the one in verse 7, he's called, let's see if it's the same thing. Anyhow, I would make a comment on the word Alpha, the word Omega, the word beginning, the word ending. Now, we got a little understanding, but I got a little more that I want to give you. The word Lord. What does Lord mean? What does which is, which was, and which is to come? And what is the meaning of the word Almighty? All, not mighty, what? Almighty. Dear friends, sometimes the Lord has to slow us down and say, behold. Selah. You notice in some of the Psalms you find a word called Selah. I didn't know what that used to mean until I found out it means stop, pause, meditate. Maybe it was a pause in the music so they could take a break and continue. But pause for a moment and consider what you're reading. Be still and know that I am God.